You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are and wherever you are all around this gorgeous planet, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. And thank you if you are a very first-time listener. This is your first time to listen to the show. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. And I hope you enjoy the show. I believe you will. Well, let me get you caught up on some developments. First of all, we are continuing to try and recode all the pages that were affected by the changes at iPowerWeb. One of the things that isn't working is, of all things, subscribing and unsubscribing to the K-Files eZine. If you have not subscribed to the K-Files eZine, I encourage you to do so, but when you open that form and you fill it out and you click submit, nothing happens at iPowerWeb where our website is hosted. Don't know why. We're working on that. Worked on it most of the day today. Chat is back up. The chat room in our members area, that's back up and working. You will have to re-register when you go into chat. You don't have to re-register, you know, to be a member, but you have to register when you go into chat. Again, but it is back up and working. If you want to subscribe to the K-Files eZine, the way to do it right now is simply send an email to kfiles@kevinsmithshow.com. Send it to kfiles@kevinsmithshow.com. And just one line, I want to subscribe, okay? And we'll get you manually subscribed to the K-Files eZine. Another change, and I told you this was coming, we're going to test drive or test fly Skype tonight. For those of you who live outside of the United States or Canada, if you live inside of the USA or Canada, you need to use the 800 number, the toll-free number, to call us, okay? But if you're outside of that area, you're in Sweden, Norway, Finland, Russia, Croatia, Australia, Germany, Thailand, wherever you are, you can Skype in and talk to us tonight. We're going to give it a try. If it works, we'll continue to do it. If we have problems with it, we'll scrap it and keep looking for another solution. But the Skype URL to use is kevin.smith.show. Okay? So if you're out there, outside of the USA and Canada, and you want to call into the show tonight, when I open the phone lines, I will also open Skype. And then you just Skype me at kevin.smith.show. So we'll see how that works. What happened to all of those dangling details of the stories that we've talked about over the past few weeks? Where have the developments taken us? Well, tonight we're going to do a bit of a roundup and talk about that. We're going to be talking about the later developments of some of the stories that you've heard us discuss here on the show. Joining me will be Dick Criswell, founder and president of IPAS, former member of AlphaCom. We're going to find out some stuff. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Did you know the Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcast right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download.
Kevin Smith Show, unique in the galaxy.
One of the things that I hear about a lot from email, one of the themes that is in a lot of the email that I get has to do with whatever happened to, and you fill in the blank. So we talk about some very interesting story, some interesting topic, event, or development here on the show. And then, you know, there are things that yet are to be developed. It's an ongoing story. And we move on. We have another topic tomorrow night. We have another topic the next night and so forth. And so people send email and say, well, whatever happened with this? Whatever happened with that? A lot of those dangling details, we never get a chance to get back to those. And that's what we're going to attempt to do tonight and sort of cover and update on several stories that we have discussed here on the show. Joining me is Dick Criswell. Dick is the founder and president of the International Paranormal UFO Society. And they investigate all type of strange phenomena. And he is a former member of AlphaCom, or I should say more correctly, he is a member of the former AlphaCom, and has some insight and sort of inside information on some of this stuff. Dick, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Kevin. It's always a pleasure.
You know, we tried to do a show and finally did a show on Friday night. It was kind of rocky, a little bit interesting. At one point, we had really just sort of gotten into the deep water, and all of a sudden, that's the night the lights went out in Georgia, except it was in Phoenix. I haven't seen anything in the newspapers or heard anything about the power outage out here. Nobody said anything. You know, usually that's a big news item the next day. Not a word, not a word. But when the power came up, we continued. You and I have talked about, I ask you on the telephone from time to time, well, whatever happened to this, Dick, and whatever happened to that? And you update me. But I think it would be a good thing for us to update our audience on some of these things, and I'd like to reach way back. You remember Rocky and Bullwinkle and the professor with his Wayback Machine?
I certainly do. Yes, I do.
Yeah, well, that's because you and me go way back. That's that's why we remember it.
We're oldies but goodies.
That's it, man. All right, now, I want to go back to this anomaly in Greenland. We did, you and I did a show, and then I did a show with a remote viewer. And then I think we had you on again, but then we sort of moved away from that and on to other topics. Have there been any further developments on that story?
The man that we had from IPUS that went down there never did get in, get close enough to get on the scene and scope that thing out. But, however, I did get confirmation that there was, when you go to that Google Earth, what you see there is not exactly. It's not a. How should I say this? It's not what you perceive it to be. Okay, there is some distortion there. That's what I was told. It was about 2 weeks ago. They said that they had done something to make sure that nobody catches on, and it just looks like they're doing something, but it's not readily accessible. So. What I'm telling you is what you're seeing is not exactly what's going on. And I was told that they were still there trying to preserve the ice caps and try to get everything back in order.
Any word on how successful they are in their efforts?
The comment was, and I had asked that, I said, does it look like they're going to be able to save it? And at last word, the guy told me, he said, it looks like it's going to be a success. But he said that there was a couple more hurdles that they had to jump to try to save these ice caps. But he said, it looks like a success for now.
Well, that's a bit of a relief.
Well, it is to me. there are repercussions if something would happen there. I mean, big time.
One of the things we're hearing about in the news is relative to global warming is that it's a non-starter now. And it's leveled out. And in some places, the mean temperature is beginning to slightly drop. Some scientists are saying that we are headed into another ice age. And in fact, there were a couple of scientists, I believe these were from Germany, who said within the next 10 years we'll be into an ice age.
Well, now, if it's any indication, I don't know how hot it is where you're at, but...
Boiling.
It
w-
Okay, well, it was 47 here today. So, you know, and we're right in springtime to where our temperatures here are supposed to be 70s, 80s. And usually when that Indianapolis 500 thing comes around, it's so hot you can't even stand it. It's kind of like being in a jungle here.
Well, if it's any comfort to you, that excess temperature that you're missing was here.
Well,
it came here. We were 110 today.
Oh, wow. Well, you could probably send us some, but, you know, we wouldn't want the whole thing. Maybe 20 degrees or something like that.
Well, that's why, you know, I tell people, and they don't believe me, but I tell people that if you spend summer in Phoenix, you'll swear you're in a suburb of hell. It is absolutely unbearably hot here, and this is just the beginning. By the time we hit August, September, we'll be up in above 120.
I've been to Vegas before when it was 118 degrees, and they said, "Well, hell, this is cool for this time of year." Oh man!
Well, we'll soon be getting into the time of year when it does not cool down below 100 at night. So it's tough. Now, once you pass that period of time, once you get into the fall, you get into winter, and even early spring, it's fabulous weather here. But I got to tell you, you got to endure living in North Hell for a few months. All right, so the Greenland story is that it's still ongoing, and apparently is going to be successful.
That is the last that I heard, and when I try to get some information, I always ask about that story, because it did concern me that you know, how they covered that thing up, and it was kind of funny how we found out about it. We didn't find out about it from our usual source. We heard about it through a roundabout way from a guy that was in nuclear energy.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, moving on, I'd like for us to move on to this. I've gotten several email requests about this. The meeting that was alleged to have taken place at the UN relative to UFO disclosure, and I have to say that as time goes on, I think we hit the nail on the head. While other people were screaming that it didn't happen and it was a fake, it was a hoax, et cetera, et cetera. I think we got it right. And the reason I think we got it right, what confirms it for me, is the agenda they discussed appears to be being implemented. And so it appears to me that it's moved from an alleged meeting to it happened, because that agenda that was alleged to have been discussed is now openly being implemented.
Yes, that is correct. I don't know whether I stated this before, but I had talked about that guy. You know, I talked about to you about the Mexican that was supposed to send me the package for with the information that meeting actually happened.
And as a matter of fact, I do get, I have gotten several emails asking, you know, for an update on that. What happened with that?
I did get the package. However, it was ripped up, and you can see where it was taped up, and there was nothing in it.
Now, it came to your mailbox?
It came to my mailbox. Yes, it did.
Did you have you checked it to see if it had any fingerprints on it?
There were no, and this is really interesting. The only fingerprints that were on it were mine.
All right.
Now you tell me how a mail guy could put that in there without putting gloves on.
Well, first of all, if it was mailed from Mexico, there would be Mexican mail handlers, many of them, that would have touched it. Then it would have gotten into the U.S. system, and there would have been many hands that would have touched it. And then it would have finally made its way to your mail carrier, who would have touched it. So what that means is that it did not come through the mail through the mail system.
Now it had an address from Mexico, but how do I know that it did come from Mexico? And you know what it looks like to me that it was superseded there by someone, because when it was dusted for prints, the only fingerprint that was on there was mine.
Well, that would have meant that your person in Mexico who was sending it to you used gloves.
That's what I'm thinking. Unless the package was switched, you know what I'm saying? It could have been intercepted, and then I got this other thing. But
could be, but it also means that someone who is not a U.S. postal carrier put it in your mailbox.
Yeah, that
using gloves.
That bothers me as well.
So, have you got any leads on finding another source for that brochure, for that information?
I'm working on that as we speak. I don't want to go into detail tonight, but it's ongoing, and I want to nail this thing down. I want to be able to get this thing up on our website and show people that, hey, the meeting happened. That's my number one thing. I got to get this done, because this guy promised it to me, and you know, I didn't get it, and I'd sure like to, you know, nail this thing down to where we can show people that it happened. We'll show them the number, the docket number, and all that stuff. I mean, that'll be in that pamphlet.
I don't know if you get the K-Files e-zine, but I put a little article in the last issue about this acclimation program is underway. And did you see that?
Yes, I did.
I don't know how you feel about that, but, you know, it appears to me, I mean, look, here we are. It happened. The meeting was supposed to have taken place February the 12th. Here we are in May. So we're not too far away from the meeting. And the British government, the Ministry of Defense, says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to release all our files on UFOs. And then within a day or two, you have the Vatican saying, yeah, you know what? It's okay to believe in extraterrestrials because, after all, they would be our space brothers. They would be our extraterrestrial brothers. And it's not against God for you to believe in UFOs or for you to believe in extraterrestrials. So, you know, it seems that there is movement toward disclosure and getting people acclimated to the idea that ETs are real and possibly among us.
It's certainly been a red-hot banner year for events to happen, and I don't believe that they've happened just randomly. You know, I look at all this UN thing. I look at what you're talking about with the Vatican. I look about NASA's statement. I look about all the UFO sightings we've had, and all the different twists and turns. I mean, it's been a real ride, and man, I'm glad I'm around to see it.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're around to see it. I'm glad I'm around to see it. And I think we're going to see even yet more amazing things in the days ahead, into next year and the next year. I think the next couple of years are going to be really, really fast-paced disclosure.
I have always stated on your program, 2009, 2010, and I'm still sticking with that.
What do you base that on?
I base that on some of the people that I talk to, some of the interconnected people. They told me if you think it's a wild ride now, you just wait 2009, 2010. So that's what I'm basing that on.
Okay. Something a little bit more recent. Let's deal with something that has been mentioned. First of all, let me say, I've done shows where we dealt with, where the guest dealt with, this Project Serpo. And a lot of people are very interested in that. Then we had Dan Burrish on, and Dan Burrish said that the Project Serpo thing was all the whole story is a hoax. What can you tell us about that?
Okay, I can tell you that there were 7 members in the Project Serpo. You recall the story that they said that they exchanged people for our people, the aliens.
Yeah.
They said that when they all came back, they all died. That is not true. When they come back, there's 2 that are still living, but they're living kind of like in a witness protection type thing, where you couldn't even get to them if you tried. So there are 2 still alive, and that's about what I can tell you. Update on that story. And as far as Mr. Burrish, the IPAS team is working now on a reverse speech. On Mr. Burrish, when I asked him about MJ-12 and different things, and we're prepared. We're in the early stages right now. I don't know how long it'll take to do this, but we're in the early stages now that we're going to bring it to your program and let you hear what really goes on. And I really don't want to let anything out tonight, but I think the listeners are really in for a treat.
Okay, fair enough. Reverse speech. Now, that's something we've had David John Oates on the show several times, and that's something that's fascinating. Have you ever heard the reverse speech that he did on Osama bin Laden?
Yes. Yes, I was talking to an individual, and I didn't realize that was who that was that brought that forward. But I did have that, and I think I've even got that in my collection. That was stunning.
Yeah, it was stunning. We'll bring you, I think he said, we'll bring you the kingdom of evil or something like that.
Yes.
And that was in reverse, but it was in perfect English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I understand that's how that works. I think now here's what I'm going to say about the Burrish thing. I think when the pause is there, okay, there were a couple pauses when I asked him a couple questions. I think you're going to hear, and this is still early. I want to hear this again, but I think you're going to hear something there that he kind of lets a cat out of the bag. Okay, and that's kind of a teaser for the listeners.
All right. Well, I look forward to that. I think our listeners will too. Now, on the Project Serpo, I want to get back into that a little bit. We've got a break coming up. Let me ask you this. I think we've got time before the break.
Okay.
Was it called Project Serpo, or is it called something else?
It was not called Serpo. It was another name, and I don't believe that that's out there. I haven't seen it anywhere, and I'd rather not say what the name is. But that was the name, you know, they first come out with, and that was not correct. It's yeah. Real close, but it's not the real name.
Okay. All right. Well, we. I have about 1 minute now until break, so let me get this one in as well. Did they get the planet right that they went to?
Yes. That's about the only credible thing out of that thing.
Okay. All right. I'm not through with Serpa. We're going to come back to it when we come back from the break. Okay, folks, we're trying to wrap up as many of the dangling details of various stories that we've talked about here on the show as we can possibly get to tonight. And if we miss something that, you know, is still dangling as far as you're concerned, we're going to open the phone lines in the second hour, and you can call in and talk to us, or you can Skype in if you're outside of the USA and outside of Canada. We'll be back.
just like a guy I used to know. Hey man, he looked just like you, and his name was Joe. Don't you know we all look like someone else? It's not a big new thing. The world is a circle, and there's your twin standing there across the ring. Because Johnny looks like Freddy, and Jenny looks like Mary. It's a natural eventuality. Joni looks like Tony, and Marty looks like Bobby. Do you know someone who looks like me? Excuse me, ma'am, you look just like a girl I used to date. Excuse me, ma'am, is it possible that you somehow relate? Don't you know we all look like someone else? It doesn't mean I'm her sister. It doesn't give you the right to bug me just because you might have kissed her. Cause Johnny looks like Freddy, and Jenny looks like Mary. It's a natural eventuality. Joni looks like Tony, and Molly looks like Bobby. Do you know someone who looks like me? Someone else, it's not a big new thing. The world is a circle, and there's your twin standing there across the ring. Because Johnny looks like Freddy, and Jenny looks like Mary. It's a natural eventuality. Joni looks like Tony, and Molly looks like Bobby. Do you know someone who looks like me? Johnny looks like Freddy, and Jenny looks like Mary. It's a natural eventuality. Joni looks like Tony, and Bobby looks like Bobby. Do you know someone who looks like me? Me.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
We are back. I'm talking with Dick Criswell this evening, and we're talking about some of the dangling details of stories that we've discussed previously on the show. And right now we're talking about Project Serpo, and we'll use that name because that's the name everybody knows it by now. Dick, in the Project Serpo material that was released on the internet, first of all, let me say that story that was released within the past, 18 months, on the internet, that's been around for a long time. I remember seeing that. I read that from somewhere on the internet way back in 1998. So that's not brand new. It was a little bit different. The version of it was a little different. But let me ask you this. The story that's out there now is that there were 12, and you've already told us there were 7. But there were 12, and that two of them decided to stay behind. Did in the real project, did anybody stay behind?
No.
Okay, and in the story that's out there now, one died on the planet. Did that happen?
That happened.
What caused the death?
It was some kind of viral type thing. I never did hear what the the final thing was, but I think this was ongoing when this individual was going to this this other planet, and then it got worse.
Did we find out anything of real use, any of any real value in this program?
I don't think much come out of. I mean, I didn't see any. I didn't see many stunning events that came out of it, other than the fact it was like an exchange program, and our guys were supposed to learn something, and their guys were supposed to learn something. But I think their guys knew a lot before they came here, and our guys didn't know that much.
Well, how many did they leave here?
That stayed here behind in another project that I'm not going to mention. There were two that stayed behind.
All right, so they put two here, and we sent seven. Why the imbalance?
I don't know. I never seen the reasoning for that.
Did you ever see a list of the names of the individuals who went?
No comment.
Okay. Are these individuals, were they all military, or were some of them civilian scientists, et cetera?
There were some civilians and military as well. And the civilians were kind of like scientists and different things like that.
And what did you see anything about what their stated mission was, or just you guys go over there and have a look around?
Well, the stated mission was that they were trying to if you want to get down to it, it was like a culture exchange, only with a different twist. You know what I'm saying? Usually, if we do a culture exchange here on Earth, they're humans. You know what I'm saying? When our exchange students go to a foreign land or whatever, you know, they're human. But our people met with alien types.
I mean, okay, now what type of aliens were these? Are these the Greys? Are these reptilians? Or who are they? What are they?
It was my understanding that they were reptilian with Greys. And Greys, you got to remember, Greys are the workers, and they work for all the different groups.
Okay, so they got on board this spaceship. And they went to this other planet. How long did it take to get there, do you know?
I don't think that was stated. I did not see anything in the records saying how long it took.
Were there any real changes in these people when they came back physically, or were they in good health? What was the story?
Well, you know, originally they said something about all of them died, and that was untrue. There were two that were left. I don't think that they said exactly what the ones that died, died of. But they died. The ones that died didn't last long when they come back here. So there must have been some kind of imbalance of some sort.
All right. Now what? When they came back, let me ask it this way. What was the year when they left?
I'm trying to think. I don't recall offhand. I'd have to check my notes. But I've got that somewhere. But I don't recall the year.
Okay, so how long were they gone?
I think it was a total of three or four years.
All right. Now, the gravity on the other planet, is it pretty much equivalent to what we have here?
I don't think that was stated there as well, but I assumed it would probably be the same because, there was no mention of that.
Did they take photographs? Did they take any film, any movies?
Not that I've seen in the documents, huh?
All right. Was there anything? Is there anything else about Serpo that we might need to discuss before we move on? Any dangling details there?
Other than the fact, like I said, there's two individuals left. They are in hiding, not by their means, but by the powers that be. They don't want, you know, they don't want them talking to anybody. I know that because there are details there that I don't think I'm even privy to, other than the fact I know that the two are still alive. And I don't know what they would gain by talking to them, other than the fact maybe clear up some of the loose ends like you're talking about, you know, years, whether they took pictures, you know, different things like that.
Do you know if there's been any ongoing communication and commerce between our planet and that planet?
Not to date, I don't think. No, I haven't. I haven't seen anything or heard anything to that effect.
So when the program was over, that was basically it. That was the end of it. What happened to the two aliens that were here?
The two aliens were released back to their planet after a, I think it was like a 5-year type thing, and then they went back to their planet, and I think that's the last I've seen of any documents to that effect.
Okay, now these two that were left here, were they the Greys or were they the reptilians?
They were both Grey.
And have you seen any video anywhere that on YouTube or anywhere else that to you appears to be either one or both of those aliens?
I haven't seen anything that looks close to them. No.
So have you seen photographs of them?
Yes. I actually, you know, the scrapbook that I talked about with the aliens when I was with AlphaCom, their picture looked very similar to the ones that were in that scrapbook.
Okay. All right. We got a couple of minutes here before we go to our next break. And one of the things that we have talked about is this latest press conference with NASA that you and I talked about on Friday night. There have been some further developments in that situation, and I want us to get into that a little bit. But let me say that from the developments that I've seen, you know, I kept saying during the show, I'm not saying this is Nibiru. I'm saying it sure looks like that artist's conception. And, you know, it may be something else, but whatever it is, I don't buy NASA's story on this. It doesn't wash. Well, the further developments have convinced me that there is something fishy with the NASA story and with that press conference, but it also has convinced me that that is not Nibiru. What about you? Would you think it's Nibiru, or do you think it's something else?
Well, I agree with you that it is. I think it is, and we're probably not. Are we going to have time to go any further?
Well, no. I'm pretty convinced that it's not Nibiru.
Oh, okay.
Think it's something related to Nibiru. And we'll get into that when we come back. We're only about 20 seconds away from break, so we'll get into that when we come back, and I want to bounce it off of you and see what you think about it. All right, folks, we're talking with Dick Criswell. It's the dangling participles. Remember those? These are the dangling details of stories that we have discussed previously on this show. We're trying to wrap up some of those details for you. And you may think of some details of other stories that we've mentioned and left you hanging. And maybe we can get some information on those tonight. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Then it's my time. This is all part of a dream, but you know I can't sleep, and I'm singing, hey, what you doing with your life, child? Don't you let them beat you down, just smile. Hey, ever feel alone? We're all in the cold, dry and dancing.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
We are back, and Dick Criswell is with us. Dick, when we went away, I had brought up the topic of the press conference, and in monitoring some copies of email that Robert Morningstar and Richard Hoagland have been having with each other, they've been somebody, I don't know if it's Morningstar or Hoagland, somebody's been sending me copies of the email. Hoagland points out some things that make me think that this is not Nibiru. However, I'll tell you the reason that I say that is because he pointed out that the location of this thing is near the center of the galaxy. Okay. However, I find it interesting. NASA says they were looking for an object for 50 years, and then they found it. Now, I dealt with this on the show Friday night. How do you look for a specific supernova unless you know that supernova has taken place. Now, how would you know it's taken place? The only way is that you observed, that you saw it. Okay, if you saw it, you're not looking for it, you're looking at it. And so you're not looking for it for 50 years. So here's what I think. I'm just going to tell you, and then we'll get your reaction to it. What they said they were going to announce doesn't match what they did announce. I think that perhaps they were about to announce that they had discovered Nibiru, or Planet X, or whatever you want to call it. And at the last minute, someone said, you better not do that. And so they substituted this supernova for the Nibiru story. It looks very much like the artist's conceptions of Nibiru. I think it may be a nudge and a hint, and yet we can't say. What do you think?
Well, I was told by this individual that used to be in Dan Quayle's association there. I won't go to tell you exactly what he did, but he told me, he says, NASA knows better than to spin that story that they spin. And he said that the story was killed at the top. He said they did not want to come forward with a story and tell that there's this planet coming in. And he flat ass said that, you know, it's not what they said it was. He said, if you listen to the conference, and I did listen to the conference, he said, you'll hear them hem-haw around with all those phony calls. And that's what he said, phony calls, like it was in-house. And nobody ever got to the, the issues of taking them to task on what was really going on. I mean, you know, there could have been some questions there, like, just like you said, who pointed you in that direction? That would have been a good question, I think.
How did you know to look for 50 years for a supernova?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Somebody had to tell you, and we had discussed Friday, it's kind of like that needle in a haystack. Somebody's got to tell you it's there so that you can look for it.
Yeah, I don't think the supernova is the story at all. I think that they had intended to release some other story because their pre-press conference statements don't match what they did release. And I think that it was a last-minute switch. Now, I could be wrong about that. It could be that NASA is just very, very, very clumsy at doing press conferences. But that's just not normal. That's NASA usually is pretty slick with their press conferences.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Also, if you look back, the timing of this whole thing, when you had the Vatican saying, you know, you can believe in space brothers, they're your friends, and we don't care because, you know, they're your, it's okay to do that. And then you hear the announcement from them, I can't help but think that there might have been trying to get a coordination there, and they switched the story at the last minute.
Well, that's what it seems like to me. I mean, it really, really does. They said, we've been looking for this object for 50 years, and we finally found it. Okay. I say again, how would you even know to look for a particular specific supernova? There has to be something that says, hey, guys, there's a supernova over there. All right.
That's the story, Kevin, right there. I mean, you know, if they would say who told them, that's the story, okay? Because you can't be finding this thing, and I think I brought this up Friday night. It would have to be awful bright for you to even look, and this thing was supposed to be really dull.
Well, you can't even see it with an optical telescope.
No.
It has to be, this is the Chandra X-ray telescope and also a radar image. Peering deep into the heart of the center of the galaxy. So this cannot be seen with a telescope. Now, the only way that you know a supernova happens is you see the supernova. Now, the results of it can last for thousands, perhaps even hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of years, because there are photographs of supernovas that happened thousands and thousands of years ago, and they're still out there burning bright, as far as we know. Because of the speed of light, some of those are just now getting to us. But the point is, we can see them. Now, this thing cannot be seen. All right? So how would you know? You don't. Either someone who has flown over that thing knows it's there and told them, or it is legitimately something that they just found with the Chandra and then developed this photograph based on the X-rays and the radar. However, that doesn't match saying we've been looking for this object for 50 years.
Yeah, and the odds on finding that object without being told gotta be astronomical. You know, I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but with all the things that are in the sky, you got to be just in the right spot to find something like that.
Yeah. But again, why would you even be looking unless you already knew?
And that's the story right there.
That's a big story. That's a huge story. It is possible that during that SERPO exchange program that they were told about it.
It's possible. I did not see any documents to that effect, but, that could have happened.
It is also possible that, as I say, they just sort of accidentally found this thing and used it as a last-minute substitute when they had planned on talking about this rogue planet that's coming in. That's purely speculation on my part. Absolute speculation, folks. But, you folks read, and when you read that we have been looking for this object for 50 years, that ought to tell you that means they knew it was there. So either they accidentally found it and they substituted it in this press conference in order to cover for something else that they were told they couldn't release, or 50 years ago, somebody told them. It's one or the other. Now, it would not be outside the realm of possibility, would it, Dick?
No.
We had two aliens guests of our government, in this Project SERPO that really isn't called that, but that's what we're calling it because that's how everybody knows it. If they were here and they've been zipping around all over the universe, maybe they knew about it.
That would be a good guess, because those would be the only ones to be zipping around. I know that we have some capabilities, but I'm sure that we don't have the capabilities that these visitors have.
Well, it could be that the people, that the humans involved in the SERPO exchange, maybe found out about this while they were on the other planet and brought that knowledge back with them. That's a possibility.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I wonder if there are observatories on the other planet.
Observatories? I don't think I've ever seen anything to that effect, no. But I do know that, we use, or some people use the moon for an observatory on the backside there to check things out.
Oops, got to go. It's break time. We'll get into that when we come back. And we'll open up the telephone lines and the Skype line when we come back.
like they are not gonna get away. But good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Those things in your life, they'll be better one day. But don't give up, everything will be okay. 'Cause good things, you know, well, they happen every day. A choice, and so is regret. So pick yourself up, and I know you can find your way. 'Cause good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Those things in your life, they'll be better one day. But don't give up, everything will be okay. 'Cause good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Yourself up, and I know you can find your way. 'Cause good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Those things in your life, they'll be better one day. But don't give up, everything will be okay. 'Cause good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Good things, you know, well, they happen every day.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Dick Criswell this evening, and we've covered a whole lot of territory real fast, just completing the blanks that we left at the end of the sentences on some of the other shows. And we are opening the phone lines for you now, 1-800-289-1092, if you're in the USA or Canada. If you're outside that area, you can either send me a flash message or you can Skype me. You can call me on Skype. And if you're using Skype, it's kevin.smith.show. Okay. And, Dick, we've got a caller, so let's go to the phone line. Caller, your first name, and from where are you calling?
This is Mark from Nashport, Ohio.
Yes, Mark.
Dick, I have some questions for you that might deal with some sensitive material, so I know you might have to limit your responses a little bit. I remember on a past show, you had talked about Dr. Wolf actually cloning a human being. Can you elaborate at all on some of the human cloning that is going on?
I didn't catch the last part of that.
Can you elaborate on any of the human cloning that's going on?
Yes, that happened. Dr. Wolf, to my knowledge, was on the cutting edge of the cloning way back 80s, 90s, something like that. Way before you ever heard about cloning, I can tell you that. That was a happening thing. And then when he wrote the book, The Catchers of Heaven, that's in that book where he tells about cloning a man. And actually, the government wanted him to clone a man so that it was like a killing soldier, so that when they told this
this individual to kill, he would kill on their command. That's what the government wanted with the cloning.
Okay. Mark, do you have another question?
I had a couple I'll go through real quick.
Okay, we did one more.
Okay, one more. On a past show, Dick, you had talked about that many of the planets on our solar system are very different than what NASA has led us to believe. And on a recent interview at Project Camelot, I believe John Lear made statements along the lines that the Moon, Venus, and Uranus are very different than what NASA has led us to believe. Can you comment on that at all?
The thing I might tell you is everything that you've been told, you just throw out the window. Now, that may be evasive, but everything that you've been told about different planets, about like gravity and different things that they've told you that they suspect happen, you can throw that out because they know.
Okay, thank you so much for the call. And let's go to Skype. And I'm not real sure if we have Tony on Skype. Are you with me, Tony? Outstanding. Where are you calling from? Outstanding. Yeah, go ahead.
It's 12 months, but I've never had the actual resources to ring you. It's fantastic, Kevin. It's great to make your acquaintance and great to hear your voice in real life, so to speak, mate. Yes. I've just got a question for you both tonight, if it's possible.
Sure,
Go ahead. With this planet X or Nibiru, I believe there's something coming. I don't actually believe it is planet X, but what it could be is the maybe a mini hole, a mini black hole or something like that in our outer galaxy. And they've detected it, but they're not game enough to actually tell us. What do you think?
What do you think about that, Dick?
I couldn't even hear him. I mean, I could hear bits and pieces.
All right. He said he doesn't think that the oncoming Planet X is really Planet X or Nibiru, but it may be something else from outside. Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, outside the galaxy?
No, in our galaxy, Kevin, in our galaxy, but maybe, say, 5 to 10 million light years away.
Okay, something in our galaxy, but 5 to 10 million light years away. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm thinking that it is the rogue planet that I was privy to when I was with AlphaCom, that they knew that it was there. They knew it would be coming towards us at a certain time, and I believe that's the one that's the one that's there.
Okay.
Well, that's fair enough, Dick. No, we all have our beliefs too, mate. And by the way, with NASA, though, Dick, I'd be pulling that BS meter out a bit more, mate, because I think she'd be registering quite a bit. Anyway, thanks, guys. Hopefully I'll be able to call you up again in the near future, and we'll have another chat.
Outstanding. Thank you, Tony. All right. Well, that worked pretty good. That is our very first call on Skype. So it worked out pretty good, although you had some difficulty hearing him.
I could hear him real low, and then all of a sudden it would just, bits and pieces.
Yeah. Well, we'll get that worked out. But let me encourage our listeners who are outside of the USA, outside of Canada, give us a call on Skype. If you're in the USA, if you're in Canada, call us on the 800 number, all right? It's 1-800-289-1092. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Yeah, Don.
How you doing tonight?
Good.
How you doing, Dick?
Just fine, Don.
Yeah, I just have a question / comment regarding that NASA photo of the they released on the supernova, claim it's supernova, and you were mentioning that well, they've been looking for 50 years. Well, I believe there's got to be some kind of explanation for that. Have you ever considered yourself contacting NASA? I'm sure there's some type of email contact or something, and ask them to elaborate on the story and explain why they did say that. And also, too, I don't believe that they would have ever at any point anybody within NASA or the government even come close to thinking about releasing information on Planet X. If they're not going to release information on ETs, and I do believe that there's that we are under slow disclosure, and there is information being released on the ETs, but I don't believe that they would ever.
Well, you know, they already did, Don. They already did in 1983.
On what?
On Planet X. They already said and used the word Planet X in the press conference. There is something out there. We have found something out there. We're not sure what it is, but it's gigantic. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got quiet.
Yeah, I know about that, and I don't think they're going to release anything further saying, well, now, we, you know, we got a doomsday planet coming towards us. It's just that I believe that there's got to be more to the story that's not being interpreted correctly, and I'm surprised that nobody has contacted NASA and asking them to explain further on the story, why they said they've been looking for 50 years.
Well, that would be an interesting thing, an interesting exercise. And I think the answer would be, honestly, I think the answer would provide even more grist for the mill because they would have to spin even more. There's no way to look for something that you don't know exists.
Yeah, I realize that they would probably, if they wanted to cover up something, they are going to spin it more. But the idea is to, you know, go that route and seeing what their spin is, or if there is some type of reasonable explanation that we're just overlooking.
Well, I'll throw that ball into Dick's court because he's the investigator.
Okay.
As far as contacting NASA, are you in a room right now?
I'm at home, yeah.
Yeah. Well, look at the wall and ask the wall a question. That's probably what you're going to get back. Nothing.
Well,
okay.
But you know, we got to give them that opportunity.
Yeah, well, they do put out the story for the public, and the public, I'm sure there's ways to ask questions on those stories. So it seems like they would have somebody to answer some type of questions.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
They never give you a straight answer, and that's what that stands for, NASA.
That's unfair, too, Dick, to say, well, we're not going to get a straight answer, so let's don't even bother about asking. Let's draw our own conclusions. You know, well, I understand that NASA does twist and lie, and NASA is not, you know, this public provided service, you know, that we once thought it was, that is more military-based than anything else. But we still gotta put the questions to them. It's just like saying, well, you know, all politicians lie, so well, what's the sense even ask them, because they're going to lie to us. We still got to ask. We've got to keep bombarding these people with our questions.
And I really do agree with you there, Don, but I just don't think that you'll get a straight answer. I mean, I think they'll just clam up and say, you know, we stand on what we said.
Yeah, but why don't we do it? Why don't we address the question to them, and let's see what they say.
Well, I guess I can do that tomorrow morning.
You know, you never know. We might get a reply back that says, well, you remember those two little guys you talked about in Project Serpo? One of them told us. You never know. They may tell us that.
It's possible. Okay, I'll go to work on that for you, Don.
Okay, thanks, Dick.
Thanks for the call. 1-800-289-1092, 1-800-289-1092. It's toll-free throughout Canada and the USA. Now, if you're outside of that area,
There's a couple of ways that you can participate in tonight's show. One way is for you to send me a flash message, as we've been doing all along. Or there is another way, and that is for you to use Skype and call me on Skype. Doesn't cost you anything. It's computer to computer. And the Skype software is a free download. So we've had one call on Skype tonight. It worked pretty well. And so if you're outside of the USA, outside of Canada, Skype me at kevin.smith.show. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hello. It's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Dick.
How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing all right. I actually, earlier today, it's something that you guys might be interested in. I finally got an update on some UFO activity that's been happening around here.
All right, go for it.
Yeah, well, I was talking with my cousin Brian. He used to live here in Iroquois Falls years ago, and he's out in Western Canada now. He's actually listening into the Kevin Smith Show tonight. He said he would anyway. And he said, I told him about, I'm researching UFOs. I'm a member of IPUS now. And he said, well, you want to know about UFOs, I'd like to tell you about them. And he told me to call him whenever he can. But unfortunately, my long distance won't allow me because I've been talking with Dick Criswell too much on the phone. My long distance is not really being friendly with me right now, but I'm letting you know that there's going to be a lot of some good UFO stories coming out of here.
All right. Well, you said this is your brother?
My cousin.
Your cousin.
Yeah, my first cousin, Rob.
Well, you may send him an email and get him to download Skype, and you download Skype, and the two of you can Skype each other.
Well,
it's free.
Well, we could do that, but I think I'm going to call him whenever I get them, probably next month after I get my phone bill. But otherwise, and that ball of flame, I think it is a planet. What I think it is, I wanted to talk about it Friday, but of course we had technical difficulties. That ball of fire that looks like the artist's impression of Nibiru, that thing looks like a planet that's been brushed out of the picture. That's what it looks like to me, and we know they've done it before, and I think this is another case of that.
Now that's one I hadn't heard yet. I guess it could be.
I think it's a planet that they tried to censor out of there, because they've done it before.
I'll tell you what, Robert Morningstar called into the show.
Mm-hmm.
He had enhanced the photograph some to take a little bit closer look at it. And he said that it looks like to him that we are seeing the birth of a black hole. And that this is a torus, a donut, the blue area, and that we're peering into the birth of a black hole. Now, that's not unusual in a supernova. They either become a pulsar, usually, or they become a black hole. So that was his take on it. And your take is that they airbrushed it out. And so we're not seeing a planet.
Well, personally, my view on it, I think it is Nibiru that they finally spotted on their telescopes, and they're just not telling anybody, because I think that's what they've been looking for 50 years or so, they say. You know, ever since Sitchin started coming out with his books, I think they've been looking for this planet that Sitchin keeps talking about, and I think they might have finally found it. I think they were going to say what they actually found, but I think somebody told them at the last minute to change their idea and say it was a supernova.
Well, and that's, you know, that is certainly one of the theories that I have heard or that I've been getting in emails. And, it could be. You know, at this point, everything that we say about it is speculation, except for the fact that there is a photograph there that NASA released, and it's something. Everything else we say about it is speculation, but I don't buy the story.
And also, what's up with Richard Hogan that says he was going to start ruffling some feathers at a convention of some sort? Did you guys hear anything about that also?
Yes. Yes. Matter of fact, he's got... I heard him talk on another program that he was going to... The talk was going to be, why do we need NASA? I did not catch the date, Kevin, but it's supposed to be some big conference that's coming up that he's going to discuss that, why we need them.
Yeah, and he's going to be ruffling some feathers, too, when he goes there. I'd like to see that.
Well, I tell you what, 2 years ago on this show, he said we need to disband NASA and replace it with an entirely new agency. And, you know, he shook up a lot of folks back then.
Well, Richard C. Hoagland, his acronym for NASA is never a straight answer, so I tend to agree with him.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Kevin.
All right, have a good night, guys.
All right. 1-800-289-1092, that's the number to call. Now, what we're dealing with here this evening, little dangling details, things that were mentioned in previous shows, and you wanted to know more about it, but we just didn't have the time to get into it. And you wondered, what's the rest of it? Or dangling details where something was just beginning to break and we never got the chance to get back to it with further developments. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hey, Brent.
Hey, Kevin. Dick, Kevin, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What was happening 50 years ago in astronomy? I don't know what it was, but whatever it was may be the answer to what. I mean, did Sitchin's books come out 50 years ago? What happened 50 years ago?
Sitchin's books were not out 50 years ago, so that was not it.
Okay.
Dick, do you know? You're a little bit older than me. I was 4 years old.
Oh, yeah. Well, 50 years ago, well, it's been 60 years ago that Roswell happened. 50 years ago... I don't reckon anything that I know of happened 50 years ago that would have been major. Maybe I'm missing something.
I just wondered.
That's a good question. It's an excellent question.
Yeah, it is.
All right, thanks for the call.
Yeah, buddy.
Well, you know, 50 years ago, there were a lot of UFO sightings.
Yes.
52 years ago... would have been when that fleet of UFOs went over the Capitol.
That was 52, I think that happened.
Yep, 1952, so it was 52 years ago.
Yeah.
And other than that, I'm really not sure. I
can't recall of anything that would have been major, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can look back in my notes. I'll check and see if there was, because that brings up a good point. You know.
Excellent point. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Atlanta.
Hi, Trey.
Listen, I'm looking at a NASA website here, and I found an article about that. And, well, I think this is, Kevin. They announced that they had found something they've been looking for 50 years. And then they said something that basically had nothing to do with the first statement. But they said something to where people could draw the conclusion that it did. And what they're talking about is here, because the tracking of this object they're talking about was the remnants of a supernova they found. And they said they began tracking this object in 1985. Okay, so that definitely isn't 50 years ago.
That's correct. And that's about the time that Sitchin's books began.
Well, what the deal is, Kevin, I looked that up, and the 30th anniversary was 2006, so his book was 76, actually. And but the thing is, though, we've got to understand that that William Henry's book, or his documentary, didn't come out till 2006, whereas the movie, which could not have been made without the information from that documentary, was made 15 years before, so Sitchin could have been, you know, doing this work, and we could have known about it 20 years before. But the one thing I want to mention is neat is NASA was actually created about 50 years ago. So did we create NASA specifically for this, or was it we were worried about Sputnik? And so I wanted to throw that in, but I mean...
Well, did the article say how they knew to look for a supernova?
No. They didn't say they knew to look for a supernova. They said, like I said, it's almost like they said, we discovered an object, we were looking for 50 years, and then we discovered a black hole. It's like this, they're telling you two different things, and they're not saying that they have anything to do with each other. They're just telling you, but the whole point is, Kevin, my dad told me, this is not enough of a big deal to call a press conference. To say that, you know, we discovered a supernova, we discovered remnants of it, you know, of it in 85, and that's not a big enough reason. I mean, sure, it might be a discovery, but I'm with y'all. Plus, also, Kevin, we also know they tell us half-truths. Like, to leak something, they'll tell us something, But then they'll say, well, no, that actually turns out to be wrong, or it's really this, but or they'll come out with a debunking reason that's ridiculous in order to, you know, not convince us. You know, it's almost what it's like. But I'm with you, though. I just don't know if this would have been accidentally, called and said, well, wait a minute, stop. I think this is something so serious that they would not have done anything and even mentioned 50 years if it wasn't planned. Because it's like that, like your caller said, you know, Don said, you're not going to, you know, say that, you know, this thing's coming.
I absolutely. In fact, Dick, you've told me that if they knew for sure that a planet killer was on the way, your source said they'd never say a word about it.
That's correct. Let me ask Mr. Criswell one question before I go real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Criswell, I'm not asking this as being a smarleck. I want to know. Could someone please tell me how this Nibiru and the prophecy can also fit in with the Bible? Because the Bible talks about Antichrist ruling the planet for however many years. And if this planet, they call the destroyers, coming in 4 years, well, that didn't leave any time for, you know, us to elect the Antichrist to rule the world. Can you tell me how these two things have any similarities, or the timelines are different, and they don't really run into each other, so they can both exist without, you know, each one being wrong? Can you help me with this? Because I've often wondered, and I don't have any invested interest in the answer. I'm just wondering.
I happen to think one of them is wrong. I don't know which.
Okay.
I don't know which one, but I have an idea that we're missing something in the Bible.
We know that.
I've tried.
Well, in the book of Revelation, planet gets hit by a huge piece of space junk called the wormwood.
Yes.
And it's going to wipe out a third of the population.
Okay. So it does
fit. That's what's in Revelation.
So that does fit. It could fit. Okay.
It could
fit. Okay. Well, no, that could be it. It doesn't matter what we call it. I mean, what name we give it doesn't really matter. The exact date is coming doesn't really matter. You know, what we call it doesn't matter. If it's coming, it's coming, and we'll find out. And maybe that's what it is. It's the Antichrist will be the world ruler, which we elect to rule what's ever left of the world.
Could be.
But anyway, thanks for taking my call.
All right, thanks for the call.
And Kevin,
mm-hmm.
Kevin, what he was talking about before, the reason that NASA doesn't do that, they call that plausible deniability.
Yep.
That's what that's about.
Yeah, that's plausible deniability is important. And it's like saying we've investigated reports of UFOs that have been made by astronauts, and NASA has deemed these to not be abnormal in the space environment. It's another way of saying, you know what, that's just normal out there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But it makes people think nothing abnormal took place. Well, something abnormal took place, but it is normal for that to take place.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, we're about 30 seconds away here from break. And when we come back, we're going to continue taking calls on our toll-free line from our audience, 1-800-289-1092. If you're outside of the United States, you're outside of Canada, you can call on Skype. Simply Skype us at kevin.smith.show, all right? Or you can send a flash message if you're outside of our toll-free area. Doesn't cost you anything to Skype, all right? We'll be back right after this. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network
is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
All right, we are back. The telephone lines are open at 1-800-289-1092. And the Skype line is open. The Skype line is accessible by Skyping kevin.smith.show, all right? And so if you're outside of our toll-free area, you can still participate in the show. You can call in free of charge using Skype. All right, we're talking with Dick Criswell, and Dick, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don again. I just wanted to make a quick comment, which I meant to make last call, on your Skype. Yeah, your caller from Australia on Skype, man, that I think you got a winner there. That Skype was, that was the clearest call I ever heard on your show.
It was good, huh?
Yeah, it was excellent. In fact, he came through better than you do.
Well, you didn't have to say, you didn't have to go there.
No, not in that respect. Come on.
Do you know why?
You know why I'm at.
The reason...
I mean, it's just the voice was very clear.
Yeah, the reason is he's coming in online and going right back out online, as opposed to me going from microphone to mixer to digital hybrid to computer.
Ah, okay. I kind of figured something like that. No, you always sound great, buddy.
Well, thank you. I'll send you your check in the mail.
Okay. But you definitely got a winner with Skype. I tell you, I don't know. Is this a recent new program out?
No, it's been out for a long time, but they've made some recent changes and upgrades in it. Used to be very, very unsecure. So,
oh, okay.
Anyway, thanks for the call, man.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Skype. And, caller, you are on the air. Your first name and where are you calling from? Hello? Yes, you're on the air. Your first name and where are you calling from? Okay, this is Andrew. Okay, you're on the air. You need to talk.
I was looking.
Yeah, that's not working out too well. Maybe you should call us again. If your computer is running the show, you got to shut that down, apparently. It's breaking up pretty bad. All right. Anyway, try it again and just Skype in at kevin.smith.show, okay? The telephone number, toll-free, is 1-800-289-1092. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Louis from Connecticut.
Yeah, Louis, go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to... good evening, Dick.
Good evening.
I would like to know if that is Planet X, and Planet X supposedly is 8 times the size of the Earth, right?
That's what we've been told.
How would that affect the Skylab space station? Wouldn't that gravitational pull have something to, wouldn't that affect the space station?
I never thought of that, but it brings up a point.
But maybe the space station was purposely put up there to observe Planet X.
Good point. I never give that consideration, but I'm glad you pointed that out.
Okay, that's all I have to say tonight. Good show, Kevin.
All right, man, thanks for the call. 1-800-289-1092, or you can Skype us. And to Andrew, let me say, sorry I had to cut you off, but the audio was just absolutely, we could not understand you and could not even hear you, some of it. Ran into that once before. We were using a different program. But give it another try. We'll see. We'll see what we can do with it. All right, 1-800-289-1092. We're talking about the dangling parts of stories that we left dangling because either we didn't have enough time to get into them or because it was an ongoing and developing story and we just had to give it time to develop.
Kevin?
Yeah.
I was just updated. One of the listeners told me it was 4 to 6 times the Earth. I had assumed that it was 8 times because I'd heard that mentioned before.
Okay.
Maybe it is 4 to 6 times.
Okay. Well, I don't know what just happened, but whatever just happened, our audio just exploded upward here. All right. Let's go to Skype call. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Hello.
Yes, Kevin. It's Tony from Australia again, mate. Look, if you could tell your listeners to turn the media play off, that's their problem because it feeds back through the speakers and you can't hear anything. That's where they're coming unstuck. It just shows everything out. So if you could just tell them to turn the speakers off or shut the media player down for the moment, and it'll work just fine. That's all I've got to say, Kev. Have a good one, mate, and we'll catch you later.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, good advice. If you're Skyping in, turn your speakers off. And or just close the media player for a moment. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Okay. 1-800-289-1092 is the toll-free number, and we'd love to hear from you. Or if you're outside of our toll-free area, you can Skype us. Dick, one of the really hot topics, and it has been a hot topic not only on this show but on a bunch of other talk shows, it has to do with the whole thing about what's really on the moon. Now, even in this show that was on television last night with Richard Hoagland talking, they showed artist conceptions of what he talks about with advanced civilizations living under these crystal domes on the moon and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
What dangling information have we not dealt with that we need to deal with about what's on the moon?
I think I had talked about that in a previous show with you about you know, that they've got a base up there, and it's ours and aliens, and they were mining the backside of the moon as well as a base for that helium-3. Now, Richard has known about that for some time. Matter of fact, Richard had clued me in, Richard Hoagland had clued me in about that, I'm trying to think, about 1989 that he was talking about that stuff. And at that time, I had not seen any documents to that effect. And I thought, okay, now, if I get a chance to do that when I'm at AlphaCom, I'm going to do that. And sure enough, the documents are there. I mean, the people at AlphaCom showed me the documents that there is. As a matter of fact, they've actually even split it up, the mental rights and so forth, and who owns what. And I think I've heard publicly said, well, you know, nobody owns nothing. Well, that's not so. There are, I think there's three individuals that own mineral rights to the backside of the moon, or own rights to it.
Three individuals own the mineral rights to the moon and actually to every other body in our solar system.
Yes, but they had stated before that nobody owned the rights to it, you know, and, mm-hmm. and that's just not so. It's not so, because there was three guys, and I think let's see, I'm trying to think. That came out in a New Yorker magazine. I can't remember what it was in, but they were talking about these three guys that owned everything.
I've had
there.
Two of them on the show.
Yeah.
Joseph Resnick and Guy. Oh man, what is his name? Chambers, is it? I know that's wrong. Anyway, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Larry in California.
Hi, Larry.
I sent you a flash message. If you just ignore that, because I'm going to go ahead and ask it on the air. Hi, Dick. How you doing?
Just fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. A little while ago, you said to throw out anything out of the window that NASA says. Is that the way you meant that? Is John Lear correct in what he's saying about these planets being in a state that they could be occupied?
He broke up there. Can you?
Yeah, repeat your question.
When you said to throw out anything NASA says, is that saying that John Lear is correct in his assessment of these other planets?
John Lear, as a matter of fact, Kevin and I was talking about that earlier this evening, and when I heard him talk the other night on that other show, I thought, well, I didn't know that stuff was out there.
Hate to do it. We're going to have to get the rest of that answer when we come back from break.
All right, so you guys, both of you, if you will, just hang on. We will be back.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
We are back, and we are talking this evening with Dick Criswell. We're talking about some of the dangling details, stories that we mentioned and didn't get to get into all the details. Now, Dick, when we went away, the caller had asked about John Lear's statements about conditions on the other planets, and you'd just begun to answer when the break took over. So let's go back and hit that.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I'd even mentioned that to you earlier this evening. Remember that?
Yep.
And I wasn't aware that some of that stuff maybe I'd missed it, was out there, but he was correct on that. The only problem that I had with John, and I know him real well, the only problem I have with John is the soul catcher thing. I'm not buying that, but there again, I wasn't exposed to that, so it's only a gut feeling with me, but he's right on what he's telling you.
Well, let's go over some of what he's telling us. What is it that he's right on about?
He's right on life on other planets and things like that. But like I said, there is life there is life on Mars. There is life on the backside of the moon. I think I've seen documents to the fact that there was a life, but maybe not as we know it, on Jupiter. And there was a couple different other planets that I seen that there was life on, and like I said, I didn't know that John was putting it out there like that. Evidently, I'd missed some of that stuff.
All right, let's talk about life on Mars. What kind of life is on Mars?
Life is alien life. I don't believe that I've seen documents that we were there, other than we had visited it at one time.
Okay, alien life being what race of aliens?
That particular race looks like Asian type people. You know, kind of the skin Asian.
All right. Have you seen the William Rutledge video that we discussed on this show?
Yes.
Something like that?
Similar to that, yes.
All right, now, what about that video? Do you think that video was hoaxed, or do you think that's genuine stuff?
Well, if it was hoaxed, it was pretty good from what I had recalled.
Yeah, the problem I had with it was the astronaut is spinning a camera around in his hands, and it's supposed to be on the moon, and there's only supposed to be 1/6 the gravity. But when he spins it and it falls back into his hands, the speed of the fall and the motion of his arms looks exactly like what you would expect in Earth gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't look like moon gravity.
Okay. Well, They said that the moon gravity, remember they told us it was different than the Earth's. I have a tendency to believe otherwise because of some of the things that Richard was talking about way before we ever knew what kind of gravity was on the moon. When the lander landed on the moon, or supposedly landed on the moon, you know, it didn't kick up the dust like it should have.
Yeah, and when it took off, it didn't.
No, neither way. So I have a problem with that. And a matter of fact, I just heard a gentleman the other day said he didn't buy we ever landed on the moon because we was there back in 1962. And I think John had said the same thing.
John
Lear.
Lear, yeah.
Yeah. As you recall, you remember when Kennedy said we're going to land a man on the moon in this decade. When he said that, they were already there. You got to remember, when the government tells you that they're going to do something like a project, like Star Wars, or like Ronald Reagan said, you know, we're going to do the Star Wars, they already had that. The only reason that they go through with the plans, so to speak, to try to get the public to believe that is so they can get funding from the Congress people. They don't know any better.
Did John Kennedy know we were already on the moon?
I believe he did. Yes, I believe he did.
What makes you think so?
By some of the people that had told me, as a matter of fact, you know, Dr. Wolf had a close relationship with the Kennedys, and he had indicated that he knew that was already there. He said that was a big PR program.
If he knew we were already there, And he was saying we were going to land a man on the moon and bring them safely back to Earth in this decade. He could have known that that was possible either in reality, or if we couldn't do it that way, we could do a studio version of it, because we already knew what it was like on the moon.
That is correct. That is correct. Now, I have a real problem with some of the things that I see that the spacecraft that came down. I happen to think, my question is, how'd they get by the Van Allen belts?
I don't fast, think real fast. That's what they say.
Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that because number one, I don't think that they knew what was really happening there. I'll tell you exactly how we got by the Van Allen belts that I believe, and I was told this at one time. We were taken by that in another craft, alien craft. In other words, we were taken to that at one time. Our astronauts.
All right. Let's, we'll try this. Caller, you've got about 30 seconds because we're about out of time. But, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don again. I was wondering if I could ask Dick another question.
If you do it in 24 seconds.
Okay, Dick. I don't know if Kevin's ever had before or not, but the main concern that overpowers all of our concerns is 2012. But second to that, people are concerned about New World Order, these underground bases, and these concentration camps are going up around.
Okay, you got to hurry. We're going to run out of time.
I wonder if you know much about that. If you do, possibly get together with Kevin sometime and do a show on that. Thanks.
All right, thanks. Sorry I had to hurry you along. Dick, you're not going to have time to answer that other than... do you know anything about those things, the concentration camps that are alleged to be around in the year 2012?
All of the above. We need to do a show on that.
Okay. Well, then I guess we shall at some point in the future.
May I give my website out before
yep,
we
please
go?
Please do. I was about to ask you to do that.
Okay. Our website is IPUS Network. It's www.ipusnetwork.com. And also we have a chat room at IPUS, www.ipustalk.com. And we'd love you to drop in. And back to you, Kevin.
All right, Dick. I want to thank you for being with us. As always, it's been fascinating. A wrap-up, a roundup of all the dangling details. And it's been some interesting little tidbits. And I look forward to you being back with us again in the future. All right, folks. That's it for this evening. We're out of time. Thank you for being here. Thank those of you who Skyped in. Thank you for those of you who called in. And thank all of you for listening. I appreciate it. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.